Ted, before we start the episode, big episode, the 150th episode celebration,
yes.
I was just wondering, because otherwise we might not have time today, do you want to do a quick Darby's mom dad role play scene? Because I think we got to get one in today.
Well, we got to get a few in today. We only got 8 in yesterday, and I was hoping for at least 5 hours in character per day.
No, of course. Let's just knock one out now.
All right, here we go.
So you'll be Darby's dad, I'll be Darby's mom. Do you have that list of prompts that Marvin gave us?
Yeah, here you go.
This one says, Darby's dad is late home from work again.
Okay, great.
Okay. So setting, I'm going to say we're in the kitchen. Dining room table in the center, cabinets at the back, sink, a window looking out. Stage right, we have a door that leads to the living room, Darby's room, bathroom, and so on. Stage left, keeping in mind, obviously, that would be our stage left facing the audience, is the door that leads to the carport. Mamie Sullivan, me, sits at the kitchen table, newspaper in front of her, glass of almost finished whiskey, cigarette burning in the ashtray. We hear the sound of a car pulling into the carport, turning off. She throws back the last of the whiskey in one gulp and pours herself another glass as we hear the car door shut, keys jingling, and entering in through stage left, carport door, Harold Sullivan, Darby's father, enters and scene begins.
Well, look who decided to join us.
A decision was not part of it. I go every day to work. Is it a decision to go to work, or am I just on a conveyor belt? Work, work, whiskey, work. Back to my wife, back to my son.
Oh, cut it out, Harold. Your pathetic attempts at prose might impress that little secretary of yours, but you're long past that point with me.
What do you know about prose? Besides the obituary section that you pore over day, night.
You want to know why I read this obituary page, Harold? It's because one of these days I think I'm going to look in it and see your name there. And that'll be the best day of my life.
Mamie.
Don't touch me.
Answer me this, Mamie. When I spun you around on that dance floor and you had that necklace on and it sparkled in the light, did you see our whole future?
That was a long time ago, Harold.
Harold pours himself a hearty pour of whiskey, which he throws back in one shot before refilling his glass.
Is it possible to love you and hate my life and get the two confused, Mamie?
Is that what you tell that secretary of yours? Oh, we love each other so much, it starts to look like hate.
You want
to
know what I tell her?
Oh, go on. You can't hurt me any more than you already have.
I tell her, marriage is a lot like a smooth obsidian stone, weather-worn and circular, and then, chip, a surface is fractured off with another rock, and it gets sharper. Chip, another one, chip. The fractures compound, Mamie, and at a certain point, you're left with the Neolithic knife of a cave person, deadly, sharp, fractious black, ready to cut open the hide of the predator itself.
Oh, it's so dramatic. It's so tragic. Our marriage, it's like something out of one of those old plays. Instead of the truth, Harold, which is our marriage is nothing at all. It's empty. It's void. It's mundane. It's regular. That's right, Harold. You are a regular human being. You're not a poet. You're not an author. You've never had an original idea in your life. But you find these women. You find these young women who look at you with these eyes and in their eyes, suddenly, you're that man again, full of potential. You could be anything you want instead of what you are. You run a GD car wash, Harold. You're not Keats, you're not Elliot, you're nothing.
You cut me to the quick, woman.
You're drunk, Harold.
Fine, I'll go to bed. I'll sleep it off. And while I'm away, you'll sit there, you'll coil your finger around the phone, you'll think about dialing that number.
Don't you say it, Harold.
When you do.
Don't you say it!
I hope you hear my voice and his.
I'm not going to hear his voice, Harold, and you know why. He's dead, Harold. You couldn't even let me have that. You couldn't let me have a moment of escape. You had to take that away from me, too. He's dead. I killed him, Harold. It's my fault.
Mamie, no. Shush.
I told him not to go, but he said he wanted to prove himself to me. He said he wanted to prove he was worthy of me. And I said, you are worthy, Steve, but it wasn't enough. He said, no, Mamie, I'm going to go. I'm going to prove to you I can be the man you need in your life. I'm going to do this one thing for our country and for you most of all. And when I come back, I'm going to take you away from this place. I let him go. Harold, I let him go.
Drink up, Mamie. Have a glass of whiskey. I know you hate me. I hate me for how much you hate me.
Can I tell you something, Harold?
Yes.
I hate myself for how much I hate you.
Mamie takes a drink of whiskey. Darby's father moves a strand of hair off of her forehead. Mamie softens visibly.
Mamie, we're not perfect. You and I, we're just two losers who hate ourselves. Stuck together in a ticky-tacky house with a white picket fence.
He was asking about you today, Darby. He looks up to you, you know, Harold.
He shouldn't. I wouldn't.
But he does.
He's a good boy, but he stands too close to me.
He just wants to be as close as possible because you're gone so much. So when you're here, he wants to feel you. He wants to remember that you're real, that he didn't dream you.
Well, then answer me this, Mamie. Why is it when I play the big bopper, he dances around like a schoolgirl?
He gets that from my father. He danced like a mummy. My mother always used to say it. Gosh, she was hard on him. Harold, I don't want to be hard on you like my mom was on my father. I want to try. I'm worried it's too late.
It might be too late for us, Mamie. It might be. But I tell you what, I'll be GD'd if I don't try.
Kiss me, Harold, like you used to.
Come here, Mamie.
And scene. Yeah, good, Ted. That was nice.
I think we're really getting it.
I was interested in the fact that we discovered that Mrs. Sullivan had a lover who died abroad, I guess in Korea?
Probably in Korea. You know, there's no way for Darby to disprove it, so I think anything goes.
That's canon. I feel like I'm really getting in touch with the whole Mamie Sullivan and her husband relationship, but a lot of this does hinge on their relationship to Darby. And yeah. I kind of feel like it's hurting us to have this like offstage Darby.
Yeah, no, it would be helpful for me too. Someone I can focus that acting upon.
Marvin would do it.
He's desperate to hang out.
I mean, let me just be clear about one thing, Marvin. You are not the Darby type.
No. Probably going to have to look a bit above his head because I think looking at Marvin's face while I think I'm talking to Darby is going to be very difficult for me.
You know what we'll do? We'll do what they did for Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar.
Head on top.
Yep, we'll put a little Darby head on top. Ted, do you think you could make a papier-mâché version of Darby's head?
Never been an easier job for me.
Great. So we will get Marvin to pretend to be Darby in our constructive role-playing so that we can better practice how to manipulate Darby as his dead parents.
Indeed.
Can you believe we've been doing this for 4 years? Well, should we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please find your seats, because the Tep Talk 150th episode extravaganza is about to begin.
The lights go down on the auditorium, and in a second the curtains will open to show us our two hosts. 4 years of podcasting and 150 episodes.
We step out on the stage and I say, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
What can I say? Ted and I, 150 episodes. Wow. Welcome, folks, to Tep Talk, your, come on, everyone, say it together, number one source for Tep news, information, and gossip. Clap. The audience goes crazy at that. And I say, yeah. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, Tep Tim, Tep Visionary, Genius Level 2, podcast host, journalist, well, you know the rest. And I take a bow, and doves fly out of the back of my jacket.
Then I think the lights go dark and red light goes everywhere. And then I fly in like I'm Pink at a Pink concert on one of those gimbals. I land. I say, it's me, Pink. I mean, Tep Ted. Are you ready to get the party started? Because I'm fun now. I'm really fun. And I'm here to make sure we all get down and groove like it's Florida Beach. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-do the conga. Da-da-da-conga. Show you for any longer. It's me, Tep Ted, Necromancer Level 9, Visionary, Dream Quester, Builder of the Tower, and Keeper of the Obsidian Realm. Here for your podcast enjoyment and to celebrate our big 1-5-0 episode and 4 years of podcasting.
Woo! crowd goes wild, and we say, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Hey, we actually have some friends with us. I think you'll recognize them. And the curtains sort of move back, and who should walk out on stage? It's the whole cast. Darby, Marvin, Thomas, Garrett, Tom DeLaTosh, Chris Pepper. They're all there, but it's like a behind-the-scenes TV show thing, so it's the actors who play them.
Yes.
It's very disconcerting.
It's weird to see them not playing their characters.
Because, like, Marvin is not wearing his sort of stained and stretched out Rush concert shirt. He's actually wearing, like, a nice fitted suit. And Marvin is, like, actually, like, a RADA-trained British actor.
Jeremy Winkle.
You know, and I think that cuts to, like, interview sequences now with the actors. And he's just like, Marvin.
What a character.
My agent sent the script over. Thank you to Janie at United Artists. I read it, and she said, I don't know if this is quite up your alley, because, you know, I just done Lear. I was Hotspur in Henry IV. And I was preparing for Beckett, for Endgame in the West End. And she said, I've got this script. It's a little bit different. I don't think you're going to want to do it because you've got this West End engagement. But I read it and I said, ring the West End and tell them I'm out because I need to play Marvin.
I think at that point we see the actor, or should I say actress, who plays Darby. And it's so disconcerting because without the little chin beard, she is beautiful.
Like a classical beauty.
Classically, like a Cate Blanket, you know. And she says, you know, the challenge with Darby wasn't so much his femininity, but his masculinity.
And Jeremy nods, because I think Marvin and Darby are being interviewed together.
I remember. You just finished Lear. You were about to go on to Beckett. I had just finished Mother Courage. Tim and Ted were in that audience. And they came up to me at the end and they said, we must have you. We must have you.
I told Tim and Ted, I said, you've got to see Andrea. You've simply got to see her Mother Courage. Because what I loved that you did was, you know, the National Theatre did a version of Mother Courage in 2010, I want to say. And it was very bells and whistles. It was very kitchen sink. It was the whole shebang.
It was
very spectacular. But Brecht wanted to create a non-spectacle.
Indeed, lights up on the audience.
And what I love about your Mother Courage, Andrea, is it was so simple. And I knew Tim and Ted. I had accepted the role of Marvin, and I knew they were looking to cast Darby.
Yes.
And I said, we've got to see Andrea. And I remember it was at interval. I didn't say a word. Tim and Ted turned to me and they said, that's our Darby.
That's our Darby.
And Andrea, I think you were not sure what to think.
That is very true. I mean, the first time I stepped into that role as Darby Sullivan, it was very confusing for me. You know, it was, I'm not sure I understand this character, who you want me to be and who you think you want Darby to be. But then I thought about Mother Courage and I thought about Brecht and I thought about non-spectacle I decided just put the chin beard on.
Yes.
Dance as Andrea would dance. Stand as close as Andrea stands.
Yes.
And let the performance be in the text.
And Tim and Ted, you know, they were like, this is a very particular part. A lot hinges on Darby. But I had worked with Andrea. She's a fantastic performer. We had done Death of an S together.
And after that, we were scheduled to do Glenn G, Glenn R.
Partially because we're both so good at doing American accents.
We are.
So, for instance, Jeremy speaks like this, but when I'm Marvin, I talk like this.
Indeed. And when I'm Andrea, obviously I speak like this. And when I'm Darby Sullivan, I speak like this.
And the rest is history, 150 episodes, and here's hoping for 150 more.
And here's a little message to Tim and Ted. Thank you so much for making this seminal piece of work. Wow, boys, 4 years and 150 episodes. We're so proud to be part of your cast. Love, Andrea and Jeremy.
Hey, thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you, Jeremy.
Wow.
Of course, a lot of TEP Talks, most well-known performers are in front of the camera, but just as important is what goes on behind the camera, specifically our spectacular special effects team. And then I think it cuts to the sort of like puppetry practical effects department, and we get a behind the scenes and how they do Grady. Grady's skin is actually made of white recycling bags, melted and framed on a chicken wire frame.
Yes, actually, you hit it with a heat gun here and there, and it sort of shrivels up. And then, of course, we coat it with a clear sort of matte acrylic coat so that everything holds in. And then we throw sprinkles at it.
Now, lots of people ask me, how we got the Grady sound. That's actually the sound of a cow's stomach with a contact microphone slowed down. We layer that on top of some electrical wires I mic'd.
And then for Lucian, this is actually a piece of styrofoam with a rubber glove on top of it and two googly eyes.
Shout out to our wonderful team, obviously. And then it shows like, takes like 15 people to work Grady, I think.
It's sort of like the xenomorph mother in Jiminy Cameron's Aliens.
Yeah.
Two people just had to be sort of strapped together inside just to do the arms.
Yeah, and then it comes back to you and me on stage. We say thank you so much. Thank you to the incredible team and Industrial Tep and Magic. We couldn't do it without you. Now, what's that sound? And who runs out onto stage but Randy! Clap, 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 clap. And we sort of do a pretend thing with Randy where we're like, oh, come here, you. And then like, there's a dog catcher who comes out and chases him around in sort of a funny pantomime.
Yeah, we sort of Benny Hill it for a second while everyone claps and cheers and Who Let the Dogs Out plays for a while.
And then Randy, he comes and he gives us a big, big, big hug.
Huge hug.
Everyone laughs and claps. It's really quite beautiful. He kisses me on the forehead and you whisper something in his ear. And you both laugh and pat each other on the back.
Yeah, it's like seeing the little short boy who plays Harry Potter and the blonde boy who plays Draco Malfoy hanging out and being friends.
Exactly. Because in the show, it's like obviously we're constantly at odds with each other, but in reality, immediately the audience is like, oh, Randy actually loves them.
Yeah, it's such a fourth wall break to see these actors really, actually, they get along. Actually,
they actually get along really well.
Really well. Like they hang out interpersonally. It's like the two guys from Scrubs, like they're actually friends,
they do
commercials together.
And Randy kind of steps forward and he says, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. It's not easy playing the bad guy when I actually love these guys so much. Come here, you. And he comes back, gives all hugs again, kisses on his cheek.
And he holds on a little longer. Like he kisses me on the forehead and the cheek this time.
Everyone's clapping. They haven't stopped clapping this whole time.
And finally, he waves his hands like, all right, quiet down, quiet down. Finally, the clapping goes down. And then there's like a long pause and he says, does this smell like wet dog in here? Oh, everyone loses it. Everyone goes crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. He comes back around, and this time he really kisses me, like, on both cheeks and the head, and he hugs me for such a long time. And he kind of he tears up a little bit. Like, it's really, like, there's a real sense of, like, thank you.
And I think at this point, spotlight comes down, and we sort of fade back, and Randy takes the spotlight. He walks out, and the crowd, they're just dead silent. They're just edge of their seats. And he steps into that spotlight and he just looks down at all the faces and he says, sometimes the greatest enemies, the darkest of foes, must have in them a kernel of light, must hold in their chest one spark of redemption. For to play a great and culture-changing antagonist means you must have the darkness and that one spark. And I want to tell you something. That one spark is here tonight. That one spark is actually two sparks, and it's these two boys, Tim and Ted. I want a round of applause for them. This is for them. The greatest role of my life.
And then they clap, clap, clap. It cuts to the audience and they're wiping their eyes. I mean, this is like quite beautiful. And Randy continues and he says,
before this role, I was really struggling. I was a POS.
And we shake our heads. Like, no. He's like,
no, I was. I didn't deserve this opportunity. I really didn't. Tim and Ted, they didn't just give me one of the best roles I've ever had in my life. They saved my life. And they showed me so much decency and compassion. They are so kind. These are two kind, good men. The audience claps. He says, no, listen to me. These are two good men.
These two men are my best friend.
I love these men.
I love them.
And you and I kind of look at each other a little like, okay. Like, we do love Randy, but it is getting a little like, you know, and he comes back for another hug. And I think you and I both are kind of like, all right, we got to keep this show rolling.
Time to move along.
And he starts crying. And it kind of goes from being, oh, this is so sweet, to being a little awkward.
Yeah. It kind of changes the vibe.
You gesture off stage. Chris Pepper comes and kind of like comforts him and leads him off stage.
Yeah, Chris says, yes, absolutely, boys. I'll take him.
And it cuts to you and me, and we say, thank you, everyone. Yeah. Wow. I knew it was going to be a big celebration for the 150th episode, but I didn't know it would be this big.
Yeah.
Thanks again so much, everyone, for coming. We have so much wonderful stuff for you tonight.
Tim, excuse me. I'm sorry. I would love to get to the next segment as well. However, we have a little video message.
Oh, what?
Would you guys like to hear it?
Siri, press play. And it cuts to a video of Elon.
Oh, did somebody say there was a party?
Unfortunately, I can't bother in person. So instead, I made this video message for my favorite baby boys, Tim and Tat.
Something that's funny on the Tap Talk podcast is that they always act like I didn't respond to their emails. But in reality, we text each other all the time because we're very good friends.
Congratulations, Tim and Ted, for 150 years of podcasting.
Thank you, Elon. Thank you. Clap, 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 clap.
Thank you, Elon.
And then at the end of the video, an intern comes in and is like, excuse me, Mr. Musk. And he's like, what did I tell you about coming in here? Get out!
Get out!
And then the video cuts out. I said, well, thank you, Elon. Wow, it is an honor. Hey, folks, we're going to be right back with the celebration. Just give us a few words from our sponsors here. And then it cuts to commercial. The audio cuts out. You can see you and me sort of chatting on stage. You can't hear what we're saying. And then it cuts over to a little sneak peek look at the set that's used for Randy's apartment. And you can see that, like, when Ted was in the chimney, there was actually an open on the chimney back so that he could stand there.
It was quite an acting challenge to feel like I was stuck in a chimney. And when in actual fact, I was just standing on a few apple crates with some C stands around me.
Podcasting magic. We'll be right back, folks. Yeah.
This is going really well, Tim.
Absolutely. Oh, and Ted, this is the 150th episode celebration. That takes precedent. But lest we forget, it is also Father's Way week 6.
Absolutely it is. And if you remember last week, we worked on our ability to fixate. So for me, because my daddy and Kyle have abandoned me, I've decided that I'm fun now.
And can I just say, it has been officially 1 week of fun, Ted, and blah, 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 the conga.
Any longer. How do you like fun, Ted?
Oh, I just want you to know I will love you no matter who you are, and you can be whoever you want to be with me, and that's fine, and I'll always be there for you. You don't have to worry about that. But fun, Ted, is so fun!
I dug a ditch, and we buried all of Kyle's things and set them on fire. We spray painted all over the pictures of my dad.
And in case people are saying, that doesn't sound that fun, you need to remember that Ted was wearing a Hawaiian shirt the whole time.
And playing the bongos. I was crying, and yeah, some point I couldn't get out of the blanket on the floor.
I told them not to give you that weighted blanket.
However, we were playing Gloria Estefan's Come On Baby Do the Conga.
We've been listening Come On Baby Do the Conga pretty much nonstop. It's really fun. And I think that people think that, like, oh, being fun is like about doing fun things like going to a water park or the amusement park or Six Flags. The reality is being a fun person is actually not at all about doing fun things. It's about who you are in your soul. It's like being a dad is not about having a son. I mean, if I could be a dad without having a son, that would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which.
Right. Yeah.
We'll maybe talk about that next ad break.
Yeah, because we do actually have to get back to the show here. But the same way for Ted, he spent a lot of his life feeling not very fun, and he decided to be fun. People will know, folks, fourth anniversary of the show, 150 episodes, people will know that over the last couple of years, I have tried, and if I'm being honest, not always succeeded at getting my wife back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I have spent a lot of time sort of wondering about whether I am going to get her back, whether I should get her back. And last week, my hyper-focused realization was that I am going to get her back.
Sure.
That's the power of the Father's Way, folks. And, oh, Ted, we're getting the flashing light here. We got to get back to the 150th episode.
Yeah, we got
to
get back.
I want to just quickly say, this is week 6 of Father's Way, and week 6 is, Ted?
It's sword practice time.
Usually we provide a lot of guidance for you on this, but,
this one's just sword practice. Just, I don't know what to say about it.
Presumably you're a father, you have a sword, katana, replica sting from The Hobbit.
Buy some water bottles, cheap water bottles.
Or melons.
At Albertsons. Stack them outside, get that katana and practice.
Oh, and by the way, also, Ted, how have your breakfast pages been going?
Great. Awesome.
I happened upon yours today. You did, I know you're supposed to do 3 breakfast pages. This morning you did 23, and they all just say in all caps, I'm fun.
Yeah. And did you see I put a picture of a bongos?
Well, that last page you just sort of did a big black circle.
Just one bongo?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a bongo. That makes sense. I can see it now being a bongo. That's great.
How did yours go?
Oh, good. I'm writing my vows for my renewal of my vows with Grace when that happens.
Oh, well, look at that. The flashing red light. We got to get back to the show.
Okay, time to get back to the 150th episode, folks. And before it cuts to us on the stage, there's another video message that pops up, and it's actor Sir Brian Cox. And he says, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, I play Uncle Rodney. I want to say thanks so much to Tim and Ted for this spectacular opportunity to finally do some real acting for once in my GD life.
Brian everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
We come out clapping.
Thank you, Brian. Wow. Hey, we are back on the 150th episode. And Ted, you know, one thing we've done over the years here on Tep Talk is we have answered questions from our listeners. Now, we don't do it very often because our listeners are, say it with me, everyone.
Mewling cretins.
Shout out Darby and Marvin. And it cuts to Andrea and Jeremy and they sort of, oh yeah, ha ha ha. No, but seriously, folks, we do love to hear from our listeners. I just thought we would answer a few questions here from our fans on the 150th episode, after all.
Oh, great. What have we got?
Here's one that's come up a little bit in my life. Tim, first of all, the Santa community is so cool. We think it's awesome that you're a part of it.
Is this a real question?
There's a question in a minute. Give me a second. It seems like they're doing an awful lot of building and construction. Where do they get their money from?
That is a good question, actually.
Well, folks, let's just say that Santa has his magical ways of making...
It's crime.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They just do crime.
Bank robbery, home robbery, burglary, counterfeiting.
Extortion.
Oh, yeah, definitely extortion. A car theft ring. They're really into converting Volkswagen Bugs into dune buggies.
Nice.
That way they can get around faster.
Bit of a Mad Matthew situation.
Yeah. So shout out to the Santas. I would feel worried about sharing that information, but they're very obvious about it. They don't hide it at all.
Well, here's another question, definitely from a listener. And it starts off in a really great way. Here, check this out. It says, hi, Ted. Wow. Love your work on the podcast. I got to admit, sometimes when I hear all your struggles with the Santas, I think, GD it, I hate them. And I think you're justified in how much you hate them.
Okay. Is there a question here?
Because they sound like total pieces of
yes. Okay.
Who have taken your best friend from you. Anyway, here's my question. How are you holding up? Oh, that is so nice of you to ask me about how I'm holding up with the fact that the Santas are giant who keep attacking my fortress. And I'll tell you this, the walls hold, the moats are deep, that skull throne still stands raggedly above the ramparts. Wave after wave of Santas and elves shall come at me. And yet, I shall hold out. I shall have myself have such an end as to be worthy of Steve. And you Santas think you have a united front. You stand in red and white purpose against me. Against just me. But little do you know that the threads of my tentacles go far, Santas. The fabric of your Santa cult may indeed have a spy, a mole amongst you, and you do not know it yet.
Yeah, it's Ben.
Damn it, Tim.
No, I'm
don't
only
saying
they figured
that.
It out. Ted, they
don't
figured it out right
away. Out loud. I had a turncoat.
I know,
I
Ted,
had double
it was a great plan. Here's the thing. Okay, Ben from the Petco, who became an elf and then was sent to attack us and then fell in the moat and got stuck in the moat for a couple weeks. Ted spent the last couple weeks really hyping up Ben how bad the Santas are.
Deprogramming.
He convinced Ben to go back to the Santas as if he had escaped and send messages to Ted, sort of informing Ted about their whereabouts and their plans.
Did he turn again?
I'm only saying any of this because I was over by the parking lot earlier and they have him up in a big cage. So I think they figured it out.
Damn it.
They have him in a big sort of like wicker bird cage.
Oh, well.
So shout out, Ben.
Good luck,
Thanks
Ben.
Thanks for trying. I don't doubt that he tried. Actually, actually, big development in the Santa parking lot. Speaking of the whole community there, breaking news corner here. Joanne Fabric has declared bankruptcy.
Wow.
Officially, Joanne says that it was due to higher operating costs. I think that what they didn't really say is that, like, a lot of those higher operating costs were guards keeping the Santas out of the Joannes.
Right.
And I think at a certain point for corporate HQ, it was just not worth fighting back. So they just basically gave the territory up. So exciting news for the Santas. They have now taken the Joanne. So they now have the Joannes and the parking lot.
Yeah, it does chill me to the bone to think of the access they now have to sparkles.
Seasonal decorations.
Fake flowers.
Those weird foam balls.
Clothing paint. And of course, they now probably have all the Mod Podge in the local area, which is not good for me.
My understanding, if it makes you feel better, is they're not actually interested in the craft. They mainly want the space to build bombs and weapons.
Oh, okay. Maybe there'll be some craft supplies left over.
Oh, Ted, I got another Q&A question here.
Yeah?
A few weeks ago, you referred to finding Darby's Tinder profile. Whatever happened with that? Did you go on a date with Darby? Thanks for the question. I think I know who that one's from, Elon.
Yeah, look.
Darby figured out it was you pretty quick.
Pretty fast.
And Ted, I saw your messages. I mean, you handled yourself really well. I don't know how he... I think you used the word tep, which was a bit of a giveaway.
I think that was the giveaway.
I
was the
forget
word tep.
That that's kind yeah. of a regionalism.
Yeah, I actually have forgotten that people actually, they don't say tep. They say tech. It sounds weird to say.
I don't think it was ever tech. That doesn't sound right. I think it was like teish.
I think it was teish.
I want to say it's Portuguese.
I think it is Portuguese.
So Ted did find Darby's Tinder profile, and Darby, well, say what you will about him. He's pretty quick. He saw through him right away, and you still tried to set up a date, but he wasn't biting.
No, not at all.
Oh, folks, time to cut to another commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute for more of the 150th episode celebration. And this time, as the lights go down and the audience claps, it cuts to another video message. And this one is Glenn Close. And she says, "Hello, everybody. It's me, Glenn Close, or as you know me, Auntie Maeveen."
Working alongside Brian has been a joy.
Thank you, Tim and Ted, for the opportunity. Here's to another 150 episodes.
And ad break.
Ad break. And folks, I want to take this ad break to remind you that if you haven't already, now is a fantastic time to sign up for the Tep Talk Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/techtalkpod.
Tech.
Where you can find amazing bonus content being released by my son who has hijacked the Patreon. Some recent updates have included that photo he posted of me that time that I thought we were all going to dress up as clowns for Christmas, and then no one else dressed up as a clown, so it was just me as a clown, and I was crying by the Christmas tree.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You're on your knees under the tree, and there's no presents.
Dennis is sort of comforting me while Grace and Seth are in the back feeding each other Christmas treats. It's like a Norman Rockstein picture.
It is like a Norman Rockstein picture.
Other recent bonus content includes, oh, he posted that photo of Grace's diary where she details how excited she felt when she left me.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. And just so you know, Corey makes a ton of money as a SoundCloud rapper, so he's very insultingly and graciously giving all the proceeds from the Patreon to us and then making us dance for it.
Yeah, we're not too proud to beg.
No, we're not. We will grind around for the money.
We work hard for the money. And of course, the other great perk you get at the Tep Talk Patreon is Corey's music.
Exclusive tracks, yeah.
Yeah, a new one dropped this week.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Tim, I am worried about Pastor Peepy. I think he might have gone too far.
I think he's past the point of worrying about. A bit of a last straw situation.
Yeah.
Things really hit a boiling point last week, and he has just fully lost the faith, literally, of the dads in the parking lot. I think they've kind of increasingly been asking questions like, what do you know about the Bible? Who are you to tell us what to do? Have you even read the Bible?
Are you even a Christian?
Right, yeah.
And I think a lot of the dads just actually have been reading the Bible and getting something out of it and then having questions for Peepy. I think the questions are just starting to build up.
And I think the thing is, even Mike, you know, so for a long time, Peepy's had solace in Mike, the sort of sovereign of the parking lot who's protected him, and they've sort of protected each other. Like, Peepy gives Mike legitimacy as the God-given ruler, and Mike gives Peepy money and power. And I think the problem is, Mike, you know, Peepy turned to Mike to be like, Mike, you know, help me, the dads are turning on me. And Mike's a savvy guy. I mean, I think he used to run an RV dealership. Like, he knows how the world works. And he could see sticking with Pee-Pee at this point is a losing battle.
He just added way too much to the B.
Yeah, he overplayed his hand. So I think this song was his like sort of subtle way to try to sort of communicate one last message to the dads in the parking lot.
I might push back against the word subtle. But it's a great song.
Yeah, good beat.
Corey does well.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Should we just play the stupid song? It's on our Patreon, after all.
Yeah, let's just play it. It's called Prodigal Son.
Featuring Little Pastor Pee-Pee Shooter.
Corey, a little Pastor Pee-Pee. Forgive me, baby, what I have said. No. I bleed with the heart of a son. Yeah. Never loved by the number one. Yeah. No. I tried but I'm coming undone. Yeah. The unloved prodigal son. Dad, when you cried to the zoo, did you know that I cried for you too? Cause I knew it was the last time that I would ever respect you. Dad, got a confession, yeah. Whole reason I started my profession, yeah. All the ways that you let me down, well, they're the jewels in my crown, yeah. I bleed with the heart of a son. Never loved by my number one, yeah. I tried but I'm coming undone. The unloved prodigal son. I bleed with the heart of a son. Never loved by my number one, yeah.
They say that I'm a heathen, they say I'm antichrist. They say I'm sacrilegious, well I'm through playing nice. This is the church and this is the steeple. I love the sheep but f*** all of you sheeple.
Peep 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 peep, that's not in the Bible. Wolverine and Cyclops were never disciples. Your scepter's too nice and your car's too fast.
Well I'll shove this f***ing scepter straight up your a***. You've heard them saying that there's a holy trinity. Whoever said that forgot about Pee-Pee. Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Ghost. But little Pee-Pee Shooter is holier than most. And one last thing, if I were up on that cross, I would've shown Pilate who was the boss. So don't forget who you're talking to. I'm little Pastor Pee-Pee, but it's God to you.
I plead with the heart of the son.
You made me do it.
Never loved by the number.
You made me do it.
I
hereby summon the power of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Josh. I summon the power of the Pharisees. I summon the power of the epistles. Jesus Christ bows down before me and I call wrath down upon all you dads.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I think that's what they call a diss track. Against God in this case.
Shout out Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj is a dad.
Nicki Minaj has big dad energy.
Big grudges.
So, notes, Pee-Pee. I think there's a lot of room for flexibility and differences of opinions within different Christian denominations. I think that a pretty hard, bright line is that you can't declare yourself greater than God. Or
literally anything. In that song.
Yeah. Hey, look, we know this is artists ourselves, Ted. You can't blame the guy for trying to be bold.
That's true.
But the dads hated that, and they pushed over the porta potty he was in, and he crawled out, and he called to Mike, Mike, help me, as they were sort of rending his garments. And Mike looked down from the Tesla he was standing on top of and did a thumbs down sign and said to the dads, if you want him, you can have him. And the dads chased him out of the parking lot.
And he came here.
Yeah, and he's here with us now. Yeah. Corey, notes for Corey. Nice beat.
Great.
I want to say, like the prodigal son, by the way, if you do want to come back and say that you actually love Tep, then I will, of course, forgive you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, congratulations, little Pee-Pee Shooter, on escaping with your life. And, hey, the parking lot, I got to say, Ted, I think this makes our chances of taking back the parking lot very good because it is total chaos now. Mike is just trying to keep the dads under control, but there's no power structure there whatsoever, which is a music to my ears.
Chaos reigns. It really, truly does.
And one more commercial before we go back to the 150th episode celebration. It cuts to some beautifully tinkly piano music. And out onto the screen steps Carlton, and he says, did you know that for only $1 a day, you could feed a dad in your community? And then it shows him taking his Carlton's Kids charity group of men in their 40s to Costco, where he's buying them all hot dogs.
Yeah.
Every single day, dads are finding themselves lost, abandoned, and in danger of human trafficking. Statistics show that 9 out of every 10 dads will be the victim of human trafficking in his lifetime.
But here at Carlton's Kids, our doors are open and the wieners are hot.
It cuts to a dad and he's got mustard stains all over his shirt. He's like, my wife told me she was leaving me because I wasn't a good partner and she had been having an affair for years. At first, I thought I was just getting divorced, but Carlton told me I was actually the victim of human trafficking.
Now I live in a bunker with a bunch of my favorite people ever, with all the hot dogs I could ever eat.
It cuts to another dad and he's just like, my son called me a Carlton took me in and told me I wasn't. But I was at risk of human trafficking, which is why I moved in with all my stuff to Carlton's house. Thank you, Carlton's Kids, for saving my life.
For just $1 a day, you too can support these dads.
It shows the dads throwing the football around, playing with a golden retriever, shooting rifles,
saluting the American flag, trying to climb a rope,
sleeping in their bunk beds at night. And then the final shot is all the dads. There's like a bunch of giant men standing on the steps of the house. And they'd say, thank you, Carlton's Kids.
And thank you, Carlton's Kids, for sponsoring the 150 episode extravaganza.
And thank you, Carlton Kids, as well, for agreeing to use your fathers as a militia to take back the Petco parking lot for Tesla Fest. That's right. And by the way, folks, now is the time to get your tickets for Tesla Fest 2024. It is happening. The parking lot is weak, and Carlton's big grown baby boys are going to go in there and crack skulls in a nice, fun way with water balloons. And the parking lot will be ours, I want to say within the month.
Easily.
And you're going to be able to see such amazing acts as hopefully Uffy, hopefully Robbie Williams.
Yes.
Ted, I didn't tell you. I got a new act for us.
Oh, who'd you get?
A Styx cover band.
That's going to be great.
They're called Grand Illusion, and they're really good because it is most of the members of Styx.
Oh, awesome.
Not the main guy. The main guy left, and so they can't call themselves Styx anymore, but it's like all the rest of them.
Cool.
And they're like actually quite desperate to play.
Okay, great. Sound like Daft Punk.
Fun fact, actually, the main guy from Styx joined what was left of Journey.
Huh.
And so we might be able to get them, but they can't play any Journey songs.
Okay.
They got the name Journey, but the singer from Journey left and is with REO Speedwagon now. And
has the songs.
They can do Styx songs.
Okay.
So that's something to look forward to. And of course, people are going to say, how is it going with the Billionaires? Has the band gotten together yet?
Almost.
What do you say, Andrea? It cuts to Andrea, the actress, and she's just like a zipping her lips thing, like, I'll never tell. She doesn't want to spoil what's coming in the show. But I can say that, Ted, yours and my plan to roleplay as Darby's parents in order to convince him that the ghosts of his dad want him to be in our band, so far the prep work has been really good.
Really good. Very promising. The scene works really good.
Oh, looks like it's time for another break. We'll be right back. And it cuts to, at this commercial break, it cuts to a little video clip of Bradley Cooper. And he says, hey, folks, I'm Bradley Cooper, but you know me as the voice of Eggman. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know Bradley Cooper was Eggman. And then it cuts to another little video message.
And it's Chimney Chamberlain. Thank you so much for letting me play Corey. The role has such power and pathos. I've never played anything like it. Thanks, Tim and Ted.
Thanks, Chimney. All right, and we're back. Now, we've just been talking about the future of Tep Talk, but Tep Talk also has a long, rich history because the past happens before the future. And we've done so much that it's easy for some things to fall through the cracks. Here's a little tribute to those characters and storylines
that we lost along the way.
Oh, it's the Frenchman that Tom DeLaTom lived with.
Oh, look. Oleg and Tibor.
Emmett's hipster friend who made our t-shirts and ruined them and worked at the Open Thistle coffee shop. He's
that
there.
Coffee shop.
Everyone in the audience is like, oh, yeah.
Harrison's there with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Hey, Harrison. Yeah, yeah. Drag Race.
Chain.
And a picture of Dragon, who did sadly pass.
Bill Shine and the Crazy Diamonds are there.
Yep, they're waving. It's actually one guy from Bill Shine and the Crazy Diamonds. The rest died. It's like the original drummer is still there. The rest of them are D.
The manager of the retirement home.
Oh my gosh, it's your neighbor, Todd!
Building that deck.
Oh, so many people that weren't interesting enough to remember. And then we hear a voice up to one side that says, Excuse me, I think you forgot someone.
Hmm?
My name is Gregor Buchbinder, but you know me as Yushi.
Yushi!
Yushi! Oh my gosh! And I never stop believing in you, Tim and Ted. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yushi, and thank you for being our silent friend.
Go away now.
Go away now. There's also someone else that I haven't mentioned in a while. I want to introduce you to my real-life girlfriend, Tisha.
Woo! Curtains flow back and out comes Tisha. You kiss her. I kind of jokingly am like, hey, let go of my husband. But then she comes and gives me a big hug because we're really good friends too.
And did you know that Tisha plays not one but two roles on Tep Talk? Tisha plays Tisha and Siri.
Yeah, that's right, folks. We had Tisha in originally to read for Siri, and we just loved what she did.
Tisha brought so much depth to that character. So
we actually came up with the role of Tisha for her.
Yeah, we did. We just thought, oh, God, we got to have something else here. So thank you, Tisha. And then we smooch. Okay. Thank you, Tisha. Thank you for joining us.
And I say, wow, Tisha, I'm so glad you could make it. And then she gives you another kiss, and I'm just like, You two are so cute together. And then a voice, a very soft, gentle, beautiful voice says, honey, isn't it time to wrap up the show? And I turn around and it's Grace. Grace is there. And because in real life, we're married too. We never got divorced in real life, and only in the show. And I say, oh my gosh, that's right. But ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Grace, playing herself in the show. And she says, I love that you've given me the opportunity to play a character that is so outside of my reality, because in the show, Grace hates you, but in reality, I love you so much and I hate Seth, because in real life, we're married and we don't have kids.
Well, I guess if Tisha's here, Grace is here.
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week's show, everybody.
Thank you for 150 episodes of Teppin' and Talkin'.
At this point, everyone comes out on stage. Gareth, Chris Pepper, and I turn and I say, oh, Grace, this has been the best night of my life, and she's not there. And then I turn to, and you say, Tisha, and Tisha's gone too. And then suddenly we realize everyone's gone. The auditorium is gone. There was never any auditorium. We're just in the Cybertruck that's broken down in the lawn of your father's cabin next to the smoldering pile of Kyle's things. It's just us.
Just us. I wouldn't change a thing, Tim. Not one thing.
Not one thing. That's it for this week's show, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy 150th episode, Ted. Hey, can I just say greatest achievement ever?
I'd say it's probably the greatest and most loveliest achievement of my life. Thank you for listening to 150 episodes. If you didn't listen to all 150 episodes, I curse you with the power of Eggman, and I damn you to always hear this sound when you go to bed.
Yeah, and hey, just a reminder, we might have been doing a little bit of an F fantasy there, but there are people in our lives that are not actors. They're real people. We're real people. And hey, here's something that's not a fantasy. Tepsla Fest 2024 is coming right
Absolutely
up!
Absolutely right.
And here's also something that's not a fantasy. There's a lot of black smoke belching out of that Joann's right now. I think that they got that furnace going round the clock.
Well, good luck to them. They'll need it in the coming onslaught of Santas. I shall be pushed across my blood throne and pointing my finger of doom at them as waves upon them crash themselves into my fortifications. That's not fantasy at all. And this has been Tep Talk.
Folks, we'll be back next week talking about iOS 18. Is Siri getting a new roommate by the name of AI?
Can I be the first to say pillow fight?
See you next week.
Bye.
And then, Ted, I think as the credits roll for the 150th episode special, we have a blooper reel.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Brian his uncle Rodney eating the sausage on St. Patrick's Day during his annual sausage fight, and he accidentally chokes on the sausage.
Oh, that's so good.
And everyone
that's
like, so good. We rush on set and give him the Heimlich. We're like, oh, okay, reset, everyone, reset.
Benedict Crumblebatch playing Gareth, smelling the fake chowder prop, being like, ooh, this stinks. Craft services.
Yeah, and Vince Vaughn is Chris Pepper. Pepper, me with the Bad Dad Bridge Boys, and I like touch the iPad and it actually burns me, and there it's like beep,
yeah,
cut.
It's just the cast of Oh Brother We're Out There.
I think like the scene of you and me being made fun of at the Apple Store.
It's Audrey Plaza.
Yeah, the Apple Store employee is Aubrey Plaza, and then yep. She stops the scene because she's like, Ted, are you actually crying?
No, this is acting.
Yeah, and then it shows Bruce Dern, who plays my dad. It's just like, you know, Tim, in real life, I know you didn't have a chance to really get to know your dad all that well, but I think you're a hell of a guy. I think you turned out great, and I think your dad would be so proud of you.
Yeah.
You know who was actually really difficult on set was the guy who played Emmett.